Yes, we've caught up with Ton Koopman, the conductor, and soloist Tini Matto. This is an exciting concert. Welcome to Philadelphia.
Thank you. It's for me second time I'm in Philadelphia. I was long ago in the Bach Festival in Philadelphia, and maybe I was another time there, but with this orchestra, certainly it's the first time.
And is this the first time for you as well?
Yes, it is for me the first time in Philadelphia. I was never here.
It's a very exciting program, and you've just both performed the CPE Bach Concerto for two harpsichords, which seems like a piece that we know was written centuries ago, but it seems very new to us. This is not something we hear very often.
No, Carl Philipp is innovative. He's really somebody who's doing everything different than you expect, and he likes to be original. He is called in his time as an original genius, and I think he is. And he is, of the Bach sons, I think the most successful, for me anyhow.
And you have two harpsichords right in center stage, right next to each other. How does that work?
Well, that is the only possibility for two harpsichords to play together, because you have to see each other's hands. We discovered that, for example, we played in the cadenza and the slow movement is trilled together. It must sound like one harpsichord. So I watch his fingers.
That's so interesting. I was wondering, because I thought, well, maybe you'd have to give eye signals to each other, but it's the hands.
It's the hands, yes, yes. For example, this trill, the slow is, and Ton at the end gives the sign to the cellist, and I watch his finger so that we be very well together.
How often have you played this work together?
I think several times, because we play as well sometimes the concert for fortepiano and harpsichord of Carl Philipp, which is as well a great work. But this is a work when he was just in his 30s, and that work was done in his last year of his living. And I think it's great to play together. Tini started off as a student of mine, and we married 41 years ago, so we know each other well. We play well together. We have fun to play together, and as well, we can play well together.
Harpsichord is not as commonly played today in orchestra concerts, let's say at the Philadelphia Orchestra. What attracted you to harpsichord, each of you?
The instrument. I remember that I studied piano, and I went to a harpsichord recital. I was listening to it and said, that is my instrument. And then I went to a course in southern Germany, a baroque course. There was a very nice teacher. I was the only student, and the teacher was Tom. That's how we met.
So the harpsichord is very important to you for many reasons.
For many reasons, yes. Yeah, that's true, for many reasons. But for me, I fell in love with the instrument. It's such a beautiful instrument, and the music is so beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say as well, the beauty of the instrument, as well, the difference of harpsichord, different type of instrument we have in the world. An Italian harpsichord is completely different than a French instrument, or a Flemish instrument, or a German instrument. So you have to get to know all those instruments. And I think the repertoire is the same. It's in all countries different. And so it's just an enormous repertoire what we have. And people say, oh, the harpsichord so limited. But then people think only of Bach. But we have, I don't know, 25,000 or 30,000 pieces of high quality. So it's an important repertoire we have. And the nice thing is that if you play organ and harpsichord, you can combine it really well, because the same technique for Baroque music on the organ is what you do on the harpsichord.
They seem so different, the sounds they make, the organ and the harpsichord.
It's true, but the touch, if you play the same way, it works well. Many pianists who play organ touch only at the surface of the keyboard, and a harpsichord player always touches down, so as deep as possible. The organ, if you do it as well, you get a different sound.
And that is the same with the beginning of the pianoforte. I'm convinced that in the time, let's say till 1790, maybe a little bit longer, the players for the clavier, what they said, were the same. If you played harpsichord, clavichord, organ, or pianoforte, in that time they were the same people. So even Mozart, when he found in a castle a harpsichord, he would play on the harpsichord. I think it's the same technique. It changed later. It changed around at the end of the 18th century towards the 19th century. But you still find programs in the beginning of the 19th century where pianists were starting their program with a harpsichord and then continue with the piano.
The harpsichord is such a distinctive instrument which modern orchestra audiences don't hear often. And the sound is made by plucking the strings. Do you have to make adjustments when you're playing with modern instruments, either to the harpsichord part or to the parts of the modern instruments so that there's the right balance?
I have honestly to say that they amplified a tiny bit the harpsichord because otherwise they were afraid that many people would not hear, because it's a huge hall, very good sounding hall, by the way, but people were afraid that the engineers would see the harpsichords and not hear that. And so we allowed that just to do a tiny bit, that in the hall you hear it like if you play the harpsichord, which is good. Just a tiny bit, it's not real amplified because then it's not a nice sound, but it's just a tiny bit to make it a little bit more clear.
You've performed this, I understand, with period instruments. When you perform it with a modern orchestra playing modern instruments, do you coach the players when you lead the rehearsal? Do you instruct them to play differently from the way they're used to playing?
Yeah, I think you will hear really a different orchestra, because I ask to play with less vibrato. I ask articulation. I like directions so that you go somewhere. So the sound is different than you're used to it. So I work on that. And I'm glad the orchestra is very willing and very open that they do it. But I think if you were in the hall, you would have heard already very clear difference. I don't know how it's on the radio, but in the hall you would hear that they really care.
You often perform together. Do your interpretations of the music always mesh?
Yes. You know, we were now married for 41 years, and I'm also his producer. I recorded all his CDs. So, and I think more than 400 we made together. At a certain point, you start to know each other. So we need one movement, and we know it. We never have discussions about music, never.
Ah, you agree?
I agree with that, because, you know, Tini came to study with me because she liked the way I played. And I tried to teach her my way, and she's her own personality. But we fit well. We are willing both to go a little bit more to the right and to the left to fit together. But normally we don't have to talk about it. It goes by itself.
In bringing these works to audiences, it seems that you are bringing familiar fare as well as works that have existed but people just didn't know about. Can you talk about the program, the shape of the program, and how you put it together?
Yeah, I always like to make a combination of some music by Bach and some music a little later. Sometimes I go even into the 19th century to do that in the second half. In this case, a program is always made together. You talk with different people, and at the end you say, could we do that? And so the idea to do Haydn Symphony in the second half was something where everybody agreed on it and was happy with. And the idea was, do we do a London Symphony? I said, London Symphonies are more often done than some other symphonies. So then I came with this La Poule, which I think is an amazing piece, where the chicken is really imitated by the violins. And so the director said, yes, that's fine. To start with Bach Suite Number 3, of course, it's a famous piece, but it's still a challenging piece for any orchestra. And Carl Philipp is very rarely heard, I'm certain, everywhere. And then the question came, can we do a flute concerto with Jeffrey, because he's our principal flute player? And I said, yes, of course. It's always nice when you have such fantastic players in the orchestra to give a chance to them as well to do something. So then Jeffrey came up with his Mozart concerto, which is a beautiful piece. So that made a program. Father Bach, one of the sons, then Pause, and now we are going on to Mozart with the flute concerto, and then Haydn, one of the Paris symphonies for the Loge Olympique, the Freemason symphonies, as they call it as well. I think a jewel of a piece, and not a big orchestra, not trumpets, it just horns, one flute, two oboes, and two bassoons and strings, and what a miracle.
It's really wonderful, and it has great variety. As you said in the beginning, the first piece, the orchestral suite, the second movement is very familiar. And then C.P.E. Bach is not familiar. He's not performed very often. People don't know him. Why is that? Because during his time, he was very well known.
I think the problem of Carl Friedmann Bach particularly is that he is so special and so real. His language is there, that to do that, you need to be somebody who knows the style very well. Otherwise, it doesn't work. If you play the music and you say, it's a bit strange, then you're lost already. So you have to say, it's not strange, it's meant to be, but it's mad music, and it wants to be mad, so let's do it like that.
Wow. Thank you so much for talking to us, Ton Koopman and Tini Metto.
You're welcome.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.